Dirty D, Shocker, an IcemanManiacs.com podcast exclusive.
Iceman Insights is going into overtime.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is!
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot. That's what she said. First circus. Vitaleri Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
And here we go.
Overtime.
The FCC won't allow it, so we have to go here.
Yeah.
Shocker. Dirty D. Over.
Very, very dirty.
Cranky.
Really
tired.
Sleep deprived.
Pissed off.
We're both sleep deprived. We both have children.
We both have children.
And jobs.
And jobs.
And this.
And wives. And soupy.
Yeah.
He's
got a pretty mouth.
Here we go. Speaking of mouths, we're going to drill the mouth of the Iceman.
We are. So I'm going to start off by asking you about Coach Pyle's broken foot. Can you tell us what happened?
No comment. No.
You're not even going to explain what happened?
Dude, that man is scary. He is the coolest guy, but he's so cool because in a nice way, he will knock your teeth out. So,
well,
nope.
Then. Okay. Well, then I guess we'll take the Coach Pyle school of thought and say, if you want to know what happened to his foot, ask him. He'll tell you.
There you go.
He might.
And then you can come on the show if you want to share it to the listening audience.
Exactly, yeah. Dixie found out during Iceman Live on Monday, and she told me, but I'm not going to tell you. So I guess we'll move on.
There you go.
Officer Robert Green, for those I would guess pretty much everyone listening to this knows the story, but I thought it was just a really cool story and bears repeating. Carrie Berman, who's a longtime Iceman fan, she's been around since the Swander days. Her son Nick is a goaltender in the EYHA. I think he plays on the Thunder team. I think he's a travel.
I believe so, yep.
So his favorite player is Jonathan Quick. He wants to be a goalie when he grows up, and he loves hockey. And
weirdo.
She's ranted and raved so much about how hockey has been good for him and how it's helped him just become a better kid. And that's a familiar refrain. A lot of people, I feel like it made me a better person playing it as a kid. So anyway, Nick is a goalie for UIHA. And last week, Carrie's car got broken into and his equipment bag got stolen. So they called the police and Officer Robert Green was the one who responded. And it just so happens that Robert Green happens to be a member of the Guns hockey team at Swander.
So knew what to look for.
So he knew what to look for, and he very much empathized with Nick being distraught over his equipment being stolen and walked the neighborhood with him, and they eventually did find his equipment bag. It had gotten dumped once the perpetrators discovered that it was just a bunch of stinky, sweaty, smelly hockey equipment. They dumped it nearby. And the happy ending is that Nick did get his equipment back. But word got around. Carrie thanked Officer Green publicly on Facebook, and the story got circulated. The Iceman got a hold of it. And long story short, thanks to the Iceman and Orthopedic Associates, they were all invited to the game on Sunday. And Officer Green and three guests of his, I'm not sure who was with him, but got to sit in the Evansville Regional Airport business class seats that are between the benches, which is just cool. You know, and he actually joined the asylum on Facebook and basically tried to downplay, you know, I was just doing my job and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you can say you're just doing your job, but you made a hell of a good impression on a young kid.
And you're part of the family now.
Right.
So.
So it's a great story, and glad that Nick got his equipment back, glad that Officer Green was able to make that kind of impression. But I just wanted to ask you, do you know anything about how, I mean, I know obviously the Iceman office somewhere got wind of that having happened. Do you know who arranged for the business class thing?
No, I don't know
thing?
It. Yeah, I'm no help so far.
Jeez.
You got to remember, I was on a bus for That's a long true. Time. So I saw it came up, and I knew people were talking about it, but I don't know who was the driving force behind that.
Well, whoever it was, kudos to them and the Iceman office in general, and also Orthopedic Associates, because Kelly Wonder popped up and yep. was offering up some of their tickets too as a thank you. So yeah, just a really cool story. It's you know, there's a lot of times with police, the only time they make the news is negative yep. stuff, and it's unfortunate, because it's like, you know, a few bad apples ruin the bunch, and there's the vast majority of police are really good people, and they do great work, and they're very selfless, and it's awesome when a good story like this comes out.
You just think about your job and the sucky days, and you go on Facebook and tear someone up or whatever else. These guys have the worst job, and they can't have a bad day.
Right.
So, yep.
Yeah, you have one bad day, and you find yourself out of a job and subject of a scandal. Yeah. So, so yeah, it's you live under a microscope, and unfortunately, the bad seems to always get blown up more than the good.
Yep.
So, we're here to blow up the good.
That's better to say we're here to blow the EPD.
No,
I'm lots of friends with a lot of those guys, both the ones that play hockey and other ones, and they've always been really good to me. So,
yeah,
and they do a crappy job. You want to hear the stories? Sit down with them, talk to them, and see what they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. There's one guy that I sharpen his son's skates. And I saw him walking one time, and he asked me what I was up to. And I said, well, I'm walking over to WEOA to get some stuff. I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm scheduling a drug deal. I'm selling drugs. And he was
undercover.
He's undercover, and he was selling drugs. And it's just – and then he asked me
– part of his job.
Yeah, I'm selling drugs. You sharpening skates? And I'm looking around looking to see who's overhearing this conversation. But so yeah.
Well, did you clarify that you weren't interested?
No, he wasn't offering me the drugs, but I was making sure that some passerbys were coming by to be like, "What the heck? That skate sharpener guy's buying drugs."
Yeah.
So yeah, they'd have to deal with some riffraff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Kudos to all of them, because it's a job. You know, you can gripe and complain, but try to put yourself in their shoes and ask yourself, is that a job you would want to do? And if the answer is no, then shut up.
Yep. Try wearing a bulletproof vest for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Iceman Live.
I really enjoyed this week's show.
I really enjoyed this week's show.
It was an awesome show. I could listen to Patafi and Pyle talk hockey forever.
Yep.
They just so many great stories from over the years. So many years of experience. I mean, Patafi, 36 years.
Yes.
Not 37,
nope.
as he corrected you. And Pyle,
I corrected a lot the last night.
That's because you were wrong a lot.
Not more than usual. The players are nicer to me. They whisper it to me off air.
Yeah. Yeah, Pyle and Pataf just throw you under the bus
exactly.
right on the air. Kind of like I do.
Yep.
Yeah. You should be used to it by now.
Yep.
So, yeah, I love listening to them talk. I thought one of the cool things was Pyle talking about winning championships versus what you really take away from your career and how – championships are great, and obviously you want to win them, but in the end, what really sticks out more is just great memories, the people you meet, the friends you make, and I think that goes for everyone, even the fans. I mean, you think about, this is the sixth year for the Icemen. We've won one championship, but a lot of the fans that are Icemen fans now weren't around for that championship, and even those who were have tons of fond memories.
Yep.
About this team, because of this team, that had nothing to do with a championship. So I think that's kind of a takeaway. You want to win the championship, but at the end of the day, if the season ends and you haven't won one, that doesn't mean it was lost. There were still good memories made. There were still people met. There were relationships cultivated. And there's a lot that this game can give you if you're willing to accept it and appreciate it.
My favorite Pyle quote of the night was when he challenged the guys and said, "How bad do you want to be good?" And I just thought
I
that,
like that
was really awesome.
Yeah, that's a really good quote. My favorite thing was when he dropped an S-bomb live on the air.
Yeah, that was I was unprepared for that moment.
I could tell by the beep. Did you hear
I almost swore right after it.
Son of a
like, Oh, F, you can't say that.
So did you hear anything after the broadcast was over?
The show was so good that we went 20 minutes long afterwards. So Ed was trying to get a hold of me from WEOA afterwards, but we were still had guests
still talking,
answering questions.
Right.
So he hung up on me.
So you haven't talked to him since?
No. Oh. I was busy today doing stuff.
Are you a little afraid to take a
call now? No. I didn't say it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Blame it on Coach.
It's right. I got the audio tape of it. Yeah. There's no way I can get in trouble for this.
Huh. So. Oh, so you record the show each week?
I specifically did that one because I do the 60-minute Iceman update on various radio shows across the tri-state.
60-minute?
Did I say 60-minute?
Yes.
60-second.
That is a very long update.
60-second radio update, and I thought he's going to have some good material tonight. So
you wanted to pull out some
clips.
That's cool. I've always wished that Iceman Live could be recorded and then made available on EvansvilleIceman.com. I did it the one season I was webmaster. I always tried to record it. Of course, that was dependent on WEOA's stream working, which at the time was not a very good bet. It has improved a lot since then. But,
yep.
I've
come a long way.
That would be really cool if we could get the show recorded every week and make it available, because there's a lot of people that have to work, like Soupy.
Yep.
A lot of people have to work and or just have things going on and can't listen to it live.
It's something we could possibly do. One thing, Nick Brunker's coming into town with the Cincy Cyclones. He's fantastic. He's a fantastic broadcaster. He's one of my favorites. I actually listen to his games when I'm off. And he does a lot of recording stuff. He will break down a game in 3 minutes after the end of the game and piece it all together, all of his audio tape. So you hear the fights and all the goals and everything else and the outcome. And he just shrinks it all down to 3 minutes.
So in like a couple commercial breaks, and then he's got his own high.
No,
package.
He does it later on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if he did that right after the game,
no, not
that'd be...
right after the game. He's not that impressive, but, just him doing that kind of challenged me that, man, I could do a lot more with the stuff that I do. If I record it and then have some times to work it up. So that's something I think it would be cool to not only
record,
especially
Iceman
if I'm
Live.
Doing the like the four guys over 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Those are nice little 20 minute segments that we could do.
Yeah.
Of course we have this IT guy named Ian Frazier, but he's a piece of shit. So who knows whether it's probably his job to do anyways.
Well, what was the time on that? Oh. I got to make sure to
we can't leave that one in.
Because
I think it's on his job title. 11:30.
Okay.
11:30 is the time on that one.
Good to know. I think it would be cool to record Iceman Live, make it available. But yeah, that would be really neat to record the game broadcast and then go back later and pull out the goals and the fights and you know.
And I do that already with the
like that.
With the goal summaries at the end of the game. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool. That was one of the things that I always suggested to Terry Ficarelli that needed to be done, that, you know, a lot of stuff needed to be made available online for either people that weren't available to listen live or were at a game or something like that.
Makes sense.
People want to go back. So
makes sense.
The more the merrier, especially since you can't depend on Ian Frazier to do anything.
No, obviously not.
Yeah. And then maybe my favorite part of the entire Iceman Live on Monday was everybody singing happy birthday to you.
That was a
totally
heck of a surprise.
That,
well, I walked in and there's balloons on the desk
and
everything else, and I thought, who the heck did this? My horrible wife was already out of town, so.
She was trying to get away before your anniversary hit?
Yes.
That was her, her way of celebrating your anniversary's leave town?
I done found her and brought her back. Her first baby came out sideways.
Wow. I guess we'll move on to the next bullet before you drop another F-bomb or S-bomb on me.
Yep.
The Kalamazoo trip. You mentioned on Iceman Live some of the stories from the road the bus hit an orange barrel on the way. That the bathroom in the bus is really nasty.
It wasn't nasty, but it's just there's a lot of boys.
Yeah. It's nasty.
No, it wasn't that nasty.
And that the players got hungry and started looking at you like you're a big old juicy steak. I enjoyed your reference to the Bugs Bunny cartoons, though, too. I knew exactly the one you're talking about where they look at him and he looks...
It's on a deserted island, right?
Yeah, exactly. He looks like a giant prime rib or something.
Because Coach was asking around. He's like, do we want to stop? Do we want to just keep on pushing through? We're 100 miles away. What do we want to do? And everyone's like, well, you know, whatever's best for the team, you know, maybe we'll just drive. And one player's like, I'm hungry. and so Coach's like, all right, we'll pull over.
So where did you end up stopping?
Well, we ended up stopping in Fort Wayne, but it was 7 o'clock on a Friday night. So everything was backed up.
Crazy.
So we jumped back on the bus and
made it the rest of the way.
All the way, yep.
Wow. What time did you end up getting there?
8:30.
That's not bad, though.
Mm-hmm.
After a long bus trip, though.
Yeah, after the guy skated before? Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't mention this, but Patafi mentioned this on Tuesdays with Taff on the website.
Uh-huh.
That once you got there Friday, you had the buffet-style dinner, and that you, Ross, Patafi, and Pyle sat down and had dinner.
Yep.
Anything interesting you can share from that? Obviously, you know, no intimate details, but yeah, I'm sure it was just fun to just sit down and shoot the breeze.
It was just that one point. The guys are really cool, and we all mingle and everything else, and we all have our different focuses, too. Ross and Patafi spend a lot of time with each other working on injuries / equipment issues.
Right.
Patafi and Coach work together. Ross and Coach work together. So I'm a little bit the odd man out there. I spend more time in the actual Iceman office.
Right.
Coordinating media stuff and everything else.
Because they're all technically hockey operations, and you're an office person.
And
but you still have to communicate with them a lot.
Right. We call ourselves media. Myself and Ian Frazier, the affirmation.
You're not a communications czar, though.
No, I am not. I am just in media. But it was one of those coach things where he said, hey, you know, just the three of us. So it's cool where I'm allowed in and talk to the players, but then here's a special moment where it's just going to be the staff. Mm-hmm. It's just going to meet together. So we just sat down in Bell's Brewery. It's really close. It is in Kalamazoo. So the restaurant we were at had some pretty nice beers on tap, and not that we got poo-poo face.
Yeah, you can say it here. I can bleep it. It's not live.
But I just a burger and a beer, and we just ate dinner and just talked, and then we went up to our rooms and went to bed, and we could just talk about, you know, a few, you know, thoughts on the game that you don't necessarily want to talk to the players about because they're doing their rituals. You don't want to be talking about,
right,
you know, I wonder if this will happen, or I wonder if this will happen. So it was a cool time. I don't remember anything specific that came up.
It's just a nice,
yep,
nice casual kind, yep, of visit. That's cool.
But the next time something cool comes up, I will break the news.
Make note of it. Yeah. So that kind of brings me, after your dinner, you mentioned on Iceman Live that you roomed with Patafi.
Yep.
I want to know more. He busted your balls about having three laptops. So you got to give us – this is your chance to throw him under the bus, and he's not coming on this week.
He's probably not listening.
Right, exactly. He's too busy out there telling people not to bully people. Nah. Great cause, but that doesn't mean you can't throw him under the bus now.
The only thing
he doesn't listen to even if this was on air, he might be listening to it then. He's not listening to this podcast, I'll tell you that much.
The only thing that was kind of off was we're on totally different schedules. So I'm doing all kind. I had to do work, so I'm up doing work until midnight, and he's ready to go to bed, and but he's getting up at 5:30,
right?
And I'm working till midnight, so I'm sleeping in till 8, eating breakfast, and then jumping on the bus for the pregame skate. So that was a little, you know, he wants to sleep. I need to get work done, so I'm trying to be quiet, and he's watching TV. But then I guess the funniest thing was he's a guy that has to fall asleep with the TV on.
Oh, he needs white noise?
Yep. So he throws...
I'm like that, too. Okay. I have a fan.
I like the fan. I'm not a big fan of the TV.
Yeah.
So he turns on the TV, and it's fine. I put some headphones on and listened to some music and fell asleep. And I woke up. I needed a glass of water. And the TV was still on. He had set the timer, but it hadn't run out. And it's 1 in the morning. I'm exhausted. And the show was some show about SeaWorld and the Shamu whales and the big conspiracy about how they've maimed and killed so many people and they've hidden all the story. It was so damn good. I couldn't stop watching it. And I'm like, SOB, I need to be asleep, and I'm watching this stupid killer whale show.
Well, at least it wasn't an infomercial.
Yeah.
You didn't end up buying a Sham Wow or something.
No. So that was about the funniest thing in the room. And so I finally fell asleep, and then like at 5:30 he got up and left the room to go work out and everything else. So it was pretty funny.
So does Pataf snore?
I don't know. I might have snored because I was gone. I didn't hear a thing. I didn't hear him get up. So
that's probably a good thing. I don't think you want to see Pataffy in the morning. That's probably not a good...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been in a lot of locker rooms.
So my final question about the Kalamazoo trip is, you had mentioned there was talk on Iceman Live last week that the broadcaster would be made to sleep in his boxers on the floor or something. Did they pull any pranks on you?
Nope,
or?
No pranks. Just kind of laid back. Everyone's just kind of feeling their way through. So
do you think you're off the hook, or are you fearing for your life on the South Carolina trip?
I'm not fearing for my life. I know it's coming. We're all kind of settling in. Everyone's getting to know each other. Everyone's getting to know how far they can push. And once they realize they can push me a long way, yeah, I'm going to be the butt of a lot of crap. So
those are
going
to be fun stories to share on this show.
Yep.
I look forward to that. But yeah, I think it's kind of one of those cases where you have to stalk your prey for a little while.
Yep.
You know, you got to learn their tendencies and figure out how best to push their buttons. And yeah, once they get to know you, you are so screwed.
One of the funniest things is Nathan Moon and Brian Pataffy. They just go at it, man. They just like two squirrels just chase, you know how they like chase each other up and down trees and everything else. Pataffy can't say anything, and Moon's right there, chirp, chirp, chirp. And
so what you're saying is Pataff and Moon both like nuts?
No, it's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying they are aggressive at each other. So, but anyways,
that's what Soupy heard. It's official. Official.
I can't remember what Moon said, but he fired a shot across the bow on Pataffy, and Pataffy's like, "Hey, keep it down back there. I'm watching Nathan Moon's highlights on the TV." And he had the swing-out TV by the captain's chair, and it was turned off.
That's nice. Okay, well, enough about the Kalamazoo trip. Wanted to bring up the Coach's Corner idea. The scoreboard on Sunday promoted the butt of Coach's Corner after Sunday's game, said that at the Corner Club, Derek Bonini and Coach Pyle would be there. Well, Coach Pyle was apparently there, and there was no Derek Bonini. So.
Yeah, I had to opt out on that one.
So what happened?
I had to fill out the friggin' paperwork on Mike Clemente is what happened. No, we're doing it this Friday, and we'll do it at most of the games. The Corner Club, fantastic little club right inside the arena. It is awesome. It is just decorated cool, and it looks out onto Main Street. And after the game, we're going to run down there really quick. We're going to snag some players. We got the Iceman Live microphones all set up, and we're going to do a little Q&A, talk about the game. People can mingle. I was actually going to preempt the overtime with that until I saw it was on the sheet. So that's what we were going to start with. But yeah, Corner Club after the game.
So
head on in.
So will it be on air or only for those live?
No, you got to come into the Corner Club. Yep, it is a Corner Club exclusive.
Ooh.
So, but yeah, the boys are going to be in there mingling and talking to fans and everything else. It's going to be super, super cool because it is awesome.
Cool. Good deal. Then my final question in our first segment here is talking about your broadcasting brethren. You said that you listened to the Cyclones game last Thursday, and then you also had mentioned that you talked to Bob Chase, the longtime legendary Comets broadcaster before Sunday's game. Just details about that. What did you learn from listening to the Cyclones game, and what did you glean from your conversation?
I already talked
a
little bit about the Cyclones, and Nick Brunker. Right. He just does a fantastic job, and just the stuff he does behind the scenes as well, and sends out. He's got it all. He's got the Twitter thing going. He's got the media stuff going. He's got the audio stuff going. So he's just fantastic. And then Bob Chase, it was the moment I was waiting for when I got the job, was being able to introduce myself to him the very first time. And I just walked in and introduced myself, and he said, "Oh, you're the new guy." We just talked life and stories and everything else. And it's 15 minutes before game time. Well, it was a little bit about 35 minutes before game time. And he's in no hurry to get set up because he's done it for so long. Mm-hmm. And
you're freaking out inside, like,
"No,
I have to get ready, but I don't want to stop talking to him."
But all my stuff was ready to go. In fact, the radio station was calling me. But I just said, screw it. There's not a lot of chances you get for your first impression to make on Bob Chase. And I just asked him how long he'd been doing it and how long he'd been with the team. And he said he'd been with the team since 1953.
Yeah.
And he shared with me that his wife is – I mean, I just thought this was totally cool. His wife's having some ailment issues, and he's a little bit concerned about her. Not that she's bad or anything like that.
Or on the brink or anything.
Yeah, but he is canceling. He's not doing the Florida trip, and they're off to Vegas here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they're one of the few Eastern teams that's going to play some games out west
and
this
year. And he's not going to do the Vegas trip, just too far away from home. So, but, I mean, 60th year of broadcasting for the same team.
That is a long time to do anything.
Yes.
That's a long time to breathe.
Yeah. And he's going to do 60-plus games this season. So it just totally warm and outgoing and fun and just hasn't lost a bit of anything. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was always interesting at Swander the first season when we were in the CHL with them at the press box, quote-unquote, at Swander. He would always set up right next to me at the music thing. So I would get to hear him throughout the game. And you know, the thing is, because he's been doing it so long, he's a little slow. He's often behind the play. But, man, the man has one heck of a voice.
Yep.
He's got a great radio voice. And it's always cool to sit and listen to someone with that kind of voice describing the sport we love.
Well, and I think a lot of broadcasters, I'm one of the few that tries to keep it game time. Most of them put their own 3 to 5 second delay in.
Oh, so you try
so they
to
can
go
watch the play and then describe it as it has happened.
Hmm.
So
yeah, I know. Yeah, I listened to the game, parts of the game on Saturday, and you are like rapid fire, really good at keeping up with the play.
Yep.
And I think that's a problem with some broadcasters, that it's like you feel like you're behind.
Yep.
What's going on, because you'll hear the crowd react to something.
Yeah.
And then the announcer mentions it 7 seconds later.
Yep.
And it's a little odd.
Yep. I don't like that. So, loose pucks.
That's with a P, pucks.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Just clarifying for those who might have heard wrong, since, you know, you dropped that last week.
Yes, I did. I was a very angry pirate last week.
Yeah. And a very loopy Derek.
Yep.
First circus.
I haven't
Daddy's
said that
too
one.
Hot.
I only said that once so far tonight. I haven't even said Daddy's too hot yet.
You haven't hit your quota. I enjoyed doing the sound check on Iceman Live, though, for the crowd microphone.
That just totally slipped.
Give me a Daddy's too hot. And then I said Daddy's too hot, and like
Piler.
We knew exactly who listens to this show, because they laughed, and everyone else was like, huh? Anyway. We'll do this from time to time during overtime, just calling it Loose Pucks, because it's just kind of a discussion of random topics from throughout the world of hockey, little things here and there, NHL, minors, whatever, whatever's in the news. First off, wanted to follow up to last week's overtime. The attendance problems in the CHL are getting worse, a lot worse. You expressed optimism about St. Charles. Well, you said 3,300 was not
even
bad
Soupy's
at all.
Soupy's jumping on me here.
You said 3,300 was not bad at all for their home debut on a Saturday night.
I stand by that. 3,300 is not a bad number.
They drew 1,107 for their second home game on a Friday.
That's a shoddy number. I don't think one has anything to...
Shoddy with an O or with an I?
With an O, shoddy. But
I think it should have an I, too. Yeah, shoddy.
So, again,
very
with
good,
your
Soupy.
Numbers, 3,000 good... 1,000 bad.
Very good.
And 8 goals in 3 games in different years do not equal the same thing, because math is hard.
A.
Yeah.
Hashtag. So, yeah, the Chill drew 1,107 for their second home game on Friday. That's a shoity number.
But the whole CHL thing, how many teams do they have? 9?
8. 10 this year, yeah.
How many owners do they have? 3?
8.
They really have 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Missouri and
St.
Charles. No, Missouri and St. Charles are owned by the same people, and Tulsa and Wichita are owned by the same people.
Now,
the other 16.
Now,
are
which
all
guy owns the league?
Well, there's no single sole person, but I think the head of the ownership group that owns the league is the guy in Wichita.
Right. That owns 2 teams.
That owns Tulsa too.
So the league's propped up, so it doesn't really...
The league's propped up, but they still can't afford to lose a bunch of teams.
No, they can't afford to lose teams, but if you've got a team that, like St. Charles Chill, is a dual one ownership with two teams, right?
Right.
So they understand what they're going.
But
they
right.
know what's going to happen.
But if they lose money hand over fist in St. Charles, I don't see the Mavericks owners continuing to float that.
What person besides Chip Rossetti could pitch a CHL team in St. Louis that's going to draw 5,000 people?
Well, no, you're not. I wouldn't expect them to draw 5,000.
My guess is they're sticking a team there for putting a team's sake there.
Yeah.
That it's relatively close, but it's relatively far away from the other markets, and you can give jobs to 20 guys to play hockey.
And have another team for your league.
And you have another team for your league.
Yeah.
So I don't think it has anything to do with attendance. I think anything that they make is just knocking off at the debt that they're piling up.
I don't think they're definitely going into debt. They drew 1107 on Friday, then on Sunday they only drew 1033, so after three games their average is down to 1823 and sure to go lower. That's not a good situation there, but it's even worse in Denver. The Cutthroats drew just 874 people on Saturday, even though the Colorado Avalanche were idle. Not home. They were idle. They didn't even have a road game on TV for people to watch, and they only drew 874 on a Saturday.
Where are the Colorado Eagles playing out of?
Loveland.
Okay.
Which is Fort Collins area. So not super far away from Denver, but not super close either. Denver's average is down to 1531 after four home dates. That's another shoity number.
Yep. And that one's not a multi.
No, that's
team,
a solo
so, yeah.
operation. So
that one's tough. Well, yeah, you already two teams tried to AWOL last year until they got reeled back in.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting to see. We talked last week. You said you think the CHL will still be around in some form next year. I tend to lean that way too, but I don't think they're going to have 10 teams.
No. Well, that was taken a little out of context. That guy that came in to manage the league, I don't think, because we were just debating whether he was prepping the whole thing to leave.
Or prepping them to try to stay afloat.
So yeah. I think he is prepping them to try to stay afloat.
Whether they actually can or not.
If two teams leave, and then the two teams leave and go to the ECHL, and the two owners want to get rid of their second teams, and they haven't made money because of the attendance issue, now you're down to six.
Well, I don't think... Two of them do not have second teams because Missouri is the rumor was that Missouri, Allen, and Rapid City were the three that were most interested in leaving. Mm-hmm. But Missouri now owns St. Charles. But you think if Missouri had the offer to go to the E, they would probably go and St. Charles would just cease to exist. Rapid City is solo ownership, so they could come in theory if they were contractually allowed to do so, and ditto with Allen.
Yep.
And I think Arizona was also mentioned as a team that had looked into moving to the East. So there are teams that want it out, but we don't know how their long-term approach changes now because the league's ownership has changed. Maybe because it is now a team-owned league with everyone supposedly having an equal stake, maybe they are willing to stick it out longer, but they're going to have to...
It's going to be an interesting offseason.
Yeah. There's going to be, at the rate they're going, there's going to be two, maybe three teams that are not able to return next year financially. And then if you have a couple that want to leave and are contractually allowed to do so, then it could still fall apart. But part of their problem is just that their geographic footprint is enormous.
Yep.
When you go, yep. I mean, Arizona started the season in Brampton. So
yeah.
You got a team in Arizona. Starts their season with a three-game weekend in Ontario.
Yep.
And
Ontario,
I'm not talking
Canada.
Not Ontario, California. So that's rough.
Yep.
But anyway, we'll move on to the NHL. There was a rare early season blockbuster trade.
Love it.
The Buffalo Sabres dealt Thomas Vanek to the Islanders for Matt Molson, a 2014 first-round pick and a 2015 second-round pick.
Love it.
The Sabres retain $1.4 million of Vanek's $6.4 million salary cap.
Even better.
Salary and a cap hit, so they're paying part of his salary and retaining that cap hit. And for the Islanders, the 2014 first-rounder is top 10 protected, so... If they're first-round pick ends up being a top-10 pick, they don't have to give it up to the Sabres. They would defer that to the 2015 draft.
Well, GM Garth Snow hopes that that doesn't come into effect.
Yeah, the whole idea is you're getting Vanek, you want to be a top-10 team, not a top-10 pick.
Yep.
So I think this is actually one of those kind of deals that can be beneficial for both teams. It serves what both of them are trying to do. For the Islanders, it's really good if they can lock Vanek up long-term. He's a free agent after this year. This is a guy that's good for 25 to 40 goals, 60 to 80 points. And you think, what could he do if he gets paired with and finds a stroke with John Tavares?
Yep.
That could be a crazy good combination. It's not as good of a deal for the Islanders. If he doesn't re-sign, he basically would turn into a very, very expensive rental. But even if he doesn't re-sign, it proves to the Islanders fans now, this team is here to compete. They're willing to make moves. They're willing to spend money in order to improve their team. And that has value, too, even if he doesn't come back.
Well, Molson is unrestricted at the end of the year as well.
Correct.
So you're trading one bargaining issue for another bargaining issue.
And that's where Buffalo, I think, wins in the deal is, Vanek didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be part of their rebuilding process. The two picks obviously have value. But Molson, he's a free agent after this year. Like you said, he can be trade bait at the deadline if they don't want to bring him back or if he doesn't want to come back. But if he wants to stay, he could be a nice piece to build around. That's not as flashy of a name, and maybe his numbers were inflated somewhat by being on a line with Tavares. But he actually has outscored Vanek the past two seasons. I looked their numbers up. Each of the past 2 years, Matt Molson had more points than Thomas Vanek.
I think he had a couple of goals in his debut, too.
Yeah. So, that's a kind of guy that if he likes it in Buffalo and he is okay with being part of their rebuilding project and they want to bring him back, then that's almost a lateral move, I think, and you're adding in the two draft picks, too. So, like I said, I think that's a good deal for both teams. It suits what both of them are trying to do.
Going back to the Phil Kessel trade, you find someone that you really like that you want to put on your team that is going to be the face of your franchise, you make the deal. And picks are great. You need to have picks because you've got to develop players, but that takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's not, these guys that – look at Edmonton. They're an absolute disgrace. And their
been
roster
drafting.
In the top five with Ryan Nugent Hopkins and –
Eberle
and Yakupov and everything else, and they're horrible.
Yeah.
They're absolutely horrible. So just because, and even look at the Phil Kessel trade. Everyone made a big deal out of it, and Boston won the cup. Where's Tyler Seguin now?
Dallas.
Traded him away
for
Louis Erickson before his contract kicked in, his long-term contract. Dougie Hamilton was the other first-round pick we gave up, and he can barely, Torrey Krug's outplayed him.
Yeah.
So, undrafted. So, the picks are, that's a lottery a lot of times.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and maybe the biggest value in the picks is they are also trade assets.
Yeah.
If you have a player, the Islanders proved it here. If you have a player that you really want to target, you can dangle picks out there to a team and try to include that as part of a package deal. And that's ultimately what the Islanders did here. They paid a hefty price, but if they can get Vanek locked up long-term and he wants to stay there, then it could end up being a really good deal for them long-term, even though it was a steep price.
I've been a big Thomas Vanek fan since his college days.
He's a good player.
I absolutely
really good
love
player.
Him, so.
He's one of those guys that if he was playing in New York instead of Buffalo, then he would be a huge star.
He'd be on the cover of NHL 2K something or other.
Right.
Yep.
And, now he's playing in New York, but with the Islanders, it's different than the Rangers, and he's still not going to be that kind of A-list kind of player. But
be if they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think the Rangers is going to.
Well, that's true, yeah. Yeah, the Islanders are moving up and up, and moving from Buffalo to the Islanders will definitely help his visibility. And in the process, that's going to, if he plays well, drive up the price this summer when he's a free agent, too. So,
Colorado
Avalanche leading the Central Division. They're 10-1-0. They have more points than every team in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, they're in the West, but my point is they're better than every team in the East right now. They have had, and it's not like they've been beating up scrubs. They've got some big wins. They beat the Ducks 6-1. They beat your Leafs 2-1 in Toronto. They shut out Boston in Boston. They shut out Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. They beat the Caps 5-1 in Washington. So they've beaten some really good teams. They're getting excellent goaltending. Semyon Varlamov, 8 games played, 176 goals against, 945 save percentage. And old Jean-Sébastien Giguère.
Jiggy with it.
He is still around, 3 games played. He's got a .67 goals against average and a .981 save percentage with 2 shutouts in those 3 starts.
And I left him on my bench on my fantasy team both times.
Don't you hate that?
Santa Maria.
They have a team goals against average of 1.45, which is first in the league. And they have a lot of good young players. Matt Duchene, Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon is playing really well. Ryan O'Reilly is a good young player. And Patrick Waugh seems to be working out really well as their coach when he's not trying to tear down the boards.
Don't forget about P.A. Parento.
Yeah, he's not that. He's like 27 now. I was surprised. I was looking at their ages to look at the young players. And yeah, I didn't think he was that old. But
I knew he played 4 years on the aisle. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's another good when he's one of the older players on the team, that says a lot. But also, I think bringing back Alex Tanguay cannot be underestimated. That was a big deal to have an yep. older guy with that kind of veteran presence in the room, too.
But, and it's one of those things, too, that it doesn't always work, but I love it when it works, when they bring back the guys from the championship
yeah.
and turn over the organization to them, because Sakic is – director of hockey operations. I don't think he's president or anything like
yeah,
that. Or maybe it's vice versa. But he's not a
hierarchy.
GM. But, yeah, they bring Waugh back, and then they grab Alex Tanguay, who's still skating. And sometimes it's all about chemistry and professionalism. We're seeing that with our own Evansville
right.
Iceman right now.
Yeah. Well, and if nothing else, it lights a fire under the fan base. It yep. gets the fan base energized, and that can parlay into – good results on the ice. You know, a team that's maybe on the fence between good and great or mediocre and good can be pushed over the edge because the fans are into it and really supporting them, and there's definitely value in that. So my question for you is, do you think they can sustain it this season? Will they be a playoff team?
I do.
You do?
I think they can sustain it. I think they'll be a playoff team. How deep they go, we'll see. The only little concern I have is – they're going to hit a lull at some point, and Waugh's going to go crazy at some point, and how they
yeah.
come out of that.
what's the over-under on how many games Waugh misses due to suspension?
The over-under, I would say, is 2.
That's what I was thinking, 2.5. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of good things there. I think they will come back to earth to some extent, but I think they got a very good shot at being a playoff team, if nothing else, because the Central is wide open. You got 3 teams in the Central are guaranteed to make the playoffs. You figure Chicago and St. Louis are going to get in. That third one is wide open. Minnesota's in the discussion. Nashville's in the discussion, although Pekka-Rinne getting hurt is going to hurt them. You have Dallas and Winnipeg, they're in the discussion too, but how seriously. So it's that third spot is there for the taking for one team to get hot and take it. And right now Colorado seems to be the odds-on favorite for that. So
I was going to follow that up with something. I can't remember.
First circus?
I got to go back to the Buffalo comment.
Daddy's too hot.
The rumor is, of course, my source is my brother, but brother Jake said they were trying not only to get Vanek, but the Islanders also wanted Ryan Miller.
Yeah, and apparently the Sabres said that they have fielded calls from over a dozen teams
yep.
that are interested in him.
So,
which tells you about the state of goaltending in the NHL. There's a lot of teams that want help.
Well, I think Ryan Miller's a fantastic goaltender.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
he's just on a shoddy team.
Shoddy or shoddy?
Yes.
Both.
Yep.
All right, final bullet in loose pucks. A hot topic right now in the NHL and the hockey world in general is Seth Jones. For those who don't know, he is the son of former NBA star Popeye Jones, who is now an assistant coach with the Indiana Pacers. He started playing at the age of 6 in Denver when Popeye was playing for the Denver Nuggets. And this year he was projected to be the number 1 pick in the NHL draft. Well, he fell to 4th overall because the first 3 teams decided to take forwards.
Yep.
Fell to 4th overall. Nashville took him at 4th overall. And they have been very, very happy with him. He's a big kid. He's 6'4", 205. He is a rookie, and he's just 19 years old. So the Preds planned originally to only play him for about 15-16 minutes a game. But then in the second game of the season, Roman Josi, who was on the top defensive pairing, suffered a conky. He's still out. Jones moved up to the top pairing with Shea Weber and moved from the right to the left side, which is not an easy transition for anyone to make, let alone a rookie who's 19 years old. But
disagree with that.
You don't think? as a right-handed shot playing the left side?
No. It depends. You either like it or you don't. I've always been able to play.
Either way.
Yep.
You go both ways.
Yes. Nice. I can see that one on the write-up tomorrow. But, yeah, I'm a left-hand shot. I don't mind playing right defense or left defense.
See, I don't either. I'm a lefty, too, and I generally played left. I played D2, and I normally played left, but I could play right, too.
Yeah,
but I think maybe that adjustment probably becomes more pronounced the higher level you go, because the game is so much faster and having to
read
the play and where the
pucks.
That's true. And
no, I think it's overrated. I really do.
Well, whether moving from right to left is a big deal or not, moving up to the top line and playing 24 minutes a game for a 19-year-old is. Among the defensemen on the Preds, he's tied with Shea Weber for the most points and tied with Ryan Ellis for the best plus-minus. He's even. Almost everyone on the team is minus. But also, a big deal for a rookie is he only has one penalty in 12 games. And for a rookie, adjusting to the speed of the game and the size of the players to only have taken one penalty in 12 games is pretty impressive, especially playing the minutes he's playing. So there's no question he's going to be a stud defenseman in the NHL for years to come. The discussion right now is if he will make Team USA for the Olympics. I think
now, was he on the pre-Olympic roster?
Yes, he was. I think Ryan Suter is probably the only true lock on defense for Team USA. It does help for Seth. I would think it would help that Team USA's general manager is David Poile, who is the general manager of the Preds. The coach is Dan Bylsma. They're probably going to take seven other defensemen in addition to Suter to Sochi, and there's a lot of good players in the mix with Jones, but I don't know that there's any that you could call locks. Among the other names that have been discussed, Dustin Byfuglien.
Lock.
You think he's a lock?
Yep.
I originally had him as a lock, but then I saw some people, some of the experts, the pundits, saying that because he doesn't have international experience and he's big and slow, that. But I think he's probably pretty much a lock, too. Keith Yandel?
Lock.
Jack Johnson?
Lock.
Paul Martin?
Sucks. Worst defenseman in the NHL.
Brooks Orpik?
Lock.
Kevin Shattenkirk?
Not sure.
John Carlson?
Proud of Indiana Ice. Not sure.
Zach Bogosian?
Man, I got to take a look at it. I haven't seen him play too much this year, so I have to take a look at it.
And Eric Johnson.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of... Suter, Byfuglien, Yandel, Johnson, Orpik.
Yep.
That's five locks.
Yep. So I think Bogosian's
a lock. And you figure they take three more.
You don't have John Michael Lyles on here. What the Sam Hale's wrong with you?
Who's he playing for now?
Toronto Marlies.
Yeah, he's probably out of that discussion at
this
point.
It's because of a cap issue.
Yeah. I would love to see him on Team USA. I played youth hockey with him. I'd love to see him on Team USA. I don't think it's going to happen. Who knows?
Don't give up.
A lot of people wrote off Eric Johnson once the Blues traded him and he flopped in Colorado, but this year he's playing well and they're hot and suddenly he's back on the radar too. So who knows? I think Suter, Byfuglien, Yandel, Johnson, Orpik is probably a go. I think Paul Martin's probably going to be on there just because Bylsma likes him. That would give us six. That's seven.
I love with my Maple Leafs going to Pittsburgh every time because we always beat them because Paul Martin is old and slow. And we just go right around him just like we did last Saturday and we win 4-1.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting because the Olympic team does tend to lead toward veterans
a
lot of times. But I think it helps Jones that he's really familiar with the larger international ice surface. He won gold for Team USA in the 2011 and 2012 World Under 18 Championships, and then last year he won the World Junior Championships. So, three times he's represented his country, and three times he's won gold.
And this whole Team USA from the very beginning said, "We're going young. Young and athletic." And so they left a lot of the old dogs at home. So I got to throw myself under the bus. A couple of years ago, free agency, and Minnesota and Detroit were battling over Ryan Suter and my buddy Tyler Jackson really wanted them to pay him, and he made $100 million, 10-year or 12-year contract. And I said, that is a waste of money. Shea Weber made Ryan Suter. That is an absolute joke. And come to find out, it was the other way around.
Well, I don't.
Shea Weber was horrible last year.
Last year he was horrible. That whole team was just injuries left and right, and they had a terrible season.
Blah, blah, blah.
Shea has been better this season.
Yeah, because of Seth Jones. That's how good Seth Jones is he has propped up $100 million Shea Weber. That's how good this kid is.
So you're saying that he's Ryan Suter 2.0?
I don't know about that, but all I'm saying is I had
Ryan Suter 1.1.
I had Shea Weber as one of my top five favorite hockey players in the league, and I've come to realize that he ain't
that
good.
Quite that good.
No.
Yeah, but he can put a puck through the net. Literally,
he can.
That's always impressive. So you got Suter, Bafuglian, Yandel, Johnson, Orpik,
yep.
Bogosian. That's six.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. There's got to be more than this.
Well, I mean, there's a lot more that are in the discussion. These are the ones that are kind of, you know, the most commonly mentioned.
I
want to
see the rest of the list. Jeopardy music. All right, after a quick jaunt through the internet, Ryan McDonagh, I think he might make the team. I've always liked Cam Fowler from Anaheim and Jake Gardner, lock.
You think so?
Oh, lock. No doubt about it.
So that probably means Jones is out.
No.
You think he'll be the eighth one?
I think so.
So you got your six locks from before.
Why would you not
add Gardner, and then you take Jones as the eighth one over?
Because two of them are going to sit anyways.
That's true.
So do you want to send a kid over there to learn and be there?
And be your guy in 4 years, yep, where you can really lean on him.
Yep.
That's true.
Send him in a heartbeat. That's
where there's value in sending him as the eighth guy, because then he at least gets the experience. Even if he never plays a game, he's got that experience of going through it once, yep, and he's prepared for 4 more years.
And I felt a little...
at the ripe old age of 23.
iffy of Bogosian, and that's part of it, too, is that Cam Fowler... and who was the other one that I said? Jake Gardner's a lock. No, he's a lock. But Fowler, McDonagh, Bogosian, I don't know how many of those guys are going to make it.
Yeah. That's the problem, is there's four or five that you look at that are... yes. And then there's about 8 or 10 others that are sure.
It all depends on where they gel or whatever else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's a good problem to have, yep, that we have that kind of depth on D, that there's that many guys that you could have 6, 7 guys that would be legitimately good candidates that are not going to be able to go. That's a problem we didn't have a lot of times, yep, in the past. So.
USA Hockey. That's why I don't mind paying my referee fees and my player fees.
Yeah,
because it's working.
It speaks a lot about where development is going in this country with kids playing hockey. And one of the quotes that I saw was I can't remember who it was. It might have been Poyle talking about how in the past you went to the three M's. You went to Minnesota, Michigan, and Maine,
yep,
and that was where almost all of the Team USA players came from. And now they're coming from all over the place. And it's really cool to see that. It's becoming more of a true national, yep, sport. It's, you know, it's never going to have the presence that hockey has in Canada, but it's cool that you're seeing guys from all over the country move up to high levels and compete.
Even on our Iceman, Lauren Barron from California and Donnie Harris, Mike Clemente coming out of Virginia and West Virginia.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like with Seth Jones, this is a kid, yep, the son of an NBA player. African American kid grows up in Denver.
Yep.
And, you know, Denver's a good hockey market, but still, you know. Yep. I thought the story was cool that Popeye wanted his kids, he's got three kids, and he wanted his kids to do something athletic, to take advantage, because, you know, he was an NBA player, a good NBA player, so he knew his kids had athletic gifts. And he wanted them to be able to take advantage of it. And when he was playing for the Nuggets, he just ran into Joe Sakic one day at the arena and basically said, you know, what would you recommend for my kids? And they talked for a while, and that's how Seth got into hockey was Popeye ran into Joe Sakic, talked to him, and Joe encouraged him to do this and that and the other. And one of the stories said that Seth actually, for a year before he ever actually played hockey, he took figure skating lessons because it improved his skating ability. So I thought that's kind of interesting.
Yep. I did that too.
Yeah, we've discussed your toe pick and your groin injury. And
nasty.
But
it did make me a better skater up until then. That was horrendous.
We need to get video of you on figure skates.
I have them upstairs.
I think the next time there's a skate, we can send you out there.
Wow. Too bad I got to be in the corner club.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Unless I'd be out there in the figure skates. I wear the tights and everything.
Are you doing the corner club on Sunday, too?
Oh, yes.
Really? Both games this week?
We're going to do them both.
What about Education Day?
No, I don't think
you mean you don't want, you don't want to invite all the 9-year-olds in there to... Jason Dale! Oh, we made it through the whole show.
We did.
Not anymore. We need to do it.
I'm fine with it, but Ivy's not going to hear it. She doesn't listen to overtime.
Oh.
So.
She didn't listen to herself last week?
Well, I did pull that clip out when I played the intro, too. Mm. So.
And she liked the intro, huh?
No, it was too confusing for her, but my wife liked the intro.
Ivy liked herself, and the redhead liked the intro. Yep. Gotcha. I have not re-edited the intro yet to include some of your finest moments from last week's show.
Like taters.
I will eventually.
Nice.
Taters and testicles. Just a couple of turds.
Cool.
Anything else?
Yep.
Jason Dale!
I think we're done.
I think so.
This has been Overtime.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.